Okay, so this week I'm going to give you some background material from, let's say, topology and calculus, which will be useful. First, let me try and explain why I'm I need this. Okay, the focus of my lectures will be, as you know, on optimization problems. So that we have a function from Rn to R. Okay? Each vector in Rn, through f, you get the value. Okay? And then we have, let's say, a subset of Rn. Okay? I would like to compute the minima or the maxima, in some sense, of this function over this set, okay, which amounts to find some x bar satisfying these two properties. The first thing is that x bar must be in the region of interest, okay? So this is called x is feasible. Second property, that x bar minimizes f, so that f computed at x bar is less or equal than f computed at any x which belongs to D. Okay? This is essentially what minimization means. Okay? So, I will generally denote this problem this way. Minimize f of x such that x belongs to D. This will be somehow the notation to address this kind of problem. Okay? And, okay, further notation, I will denote with argmin, argument of minima, the set of points x that satisfy the two conditions. Okay? I will be back to this problem in a couple of weeks. We could also be interested in finding the maxima of this function over the set. What is that change? Well, you simply switch the sign. Okay? You want to find an x bar, which is in the region of your interest, and at which f take a value which is greater or equal than the value of f at any other point in the same region. Okay? And clearly, here you will have max instead of min. Okay? So, this is a very general framework. Then we will focus on some particular kind of problems in this aim. But the focus of my lecture, on these background lectures, will be first on some properties of the space Rn, some topological properties. Okay? And then on calculus properties for these type of functions. Okay? Some of you may know calculus for function of several variables, some of you may not. Okay? So in this lecture I will give you a brief overview of the concept that we need from the topology of the space Rn and for calculus for function of several variables. Okay? So, today I will start from the very beginning with Rn. Okay? You all know what Rn is, correct? Okay, at least. So, R and R, dos vectors with n components of real numbers. That is easy. We will consider R n with the usual scalar product. So whenever you are given two vectors in R n, you know it really well. The scalar product we will consider is given this way. Is the sum of the product of the components of the two vectors. Okay? I mean, this should be obvious for all of you. X is x1, x2, xn, and the same works for y. And also, I will consider just the Euclidean norm. What is the Euclidean norm? The Euclidean norm is the square root of the scalar product of the vector with itself. Okay? If you want to write it in formula, explicitly is the square root of the sum for I that goes from 1 to n of xi squared. Okay? You probably know that there are other scalar products, there are other norms, but I will just use these two. Okay? Let me start just giving a few basic properties that will be used often. So we are given two vectors in a RAM and we are given a real number. Okay? So properties of the norm. Well, first property is very obvious. The norm is always greater or equal than zero. It's a square root. Okay? Second property. If you consider the vector alpha x, it means that you multiply each component by alpha. The norm of this vector is the absolute value of alpha times the norm of x. Okay? You can check them by yourself. Third, also you can check it by yourself. The norm of a vector is zero if and only if the vector is the zero vector. By zero, I mean the vector whose components are all zero. Okay? So generally, I will take it out this underscore. These are very easy, straightforward consequences of the definition. Okay. These are a bit more involved. If you sum two vectors, sum of x and y, means the vector whose components are the sum of the components, then the norm of this vector is less or equal than the sum of the norms of the two vectors. Okay? As a consequence of this, if you take the norm of the difference of two vectors, you can think that this is the sum of x plus the vector minus x. So you apply the above property, and here the right-hand side is exactly the same. Okay? These are also pretty easy to prove. A little less obvious is the following. If you take the scalar product of two vectors, and you take the absolute value, this is less or equal than the product of the norms of the two vectors. Okay? This last one is known as sparse inequality. We will use all these properties from time to time. Another concept which is linked to scalar product and norm is the distance of two vectors. Yeah?
Geographically speaking, what does mean that the norm? It's also geographical. I mean,
the norm is a measure of length of the vector. Okay? I will give it through the distance once again. Okay? So when you have two vectors, x and y, we can define the distance of x from y or from y to x as the norm of the vector x minus y. Okay? In such a way, this is definition of distance of x from y. If you take 0 as 1, you get the norm. Okay? So, if you want another interpretation, the norm is the distance of a point from the origin of the space. Okay? Okay, here we have properties of the distance which come immediately from the properties of the norm. Okay? Well, first one is obvious. The norm is greater or equal than 0, then the distance between two vectors is always greater or equal than 0. Second property comes from here. Okay? The distance between two vectors is 0, if and only if this is the 0 vector. Okay? X minus y is the 0 vector. It means, if and only if, x is equal to y. That is what you expected, okay? Distance 0 means they are exactly the same point. Third, you can get, using in a less straightforward way, these inequalities up there. The distance, okay, let's consider three points, x and y. The distance of x from y is less or equal than the distance of x from z plus the distance of z from y for any x, y, and z in a ring. Okay? This is the well-known triangular inequality. So let's say in the plane you have three points, x, y, and z, okay? This is the distance between x and y, okay? This is the distance from x and z, and this is the distance from of z from y. So this is telling you that this is shorter than this plus this. Okay? Easy stuff. Oh, another thing I didn't tell you, but it is obvious, is that the distance is symmetric. Okay? This is a consequence of this property. Okay? The norm of x minus y is the same of the norm of y minus x because you obtain one from the other just multiplying for minus 1. And so here the absolute value minus 1 is 1, so the norm is the same. Okay? So it's the distance between x and y, not from of x from y. Okay? Because if you reverse the role, the distance is the same. Okay, I think that probably
You already knew all of this. Okay, this is, I think, well known to all of you. So we will be having Aram, the Euclidean space, and Oved with a scalar product, which in turn gives you a norm, which in turn gives you a distance. Okay? Is everything clear? Okay. Okay, let me move to something which may be less familiar to you. Sequences. You are used to sequences of numbers. Okay? I will talk to you about sequences of vectors in Array. Okay? As you will see in a moment, there is not such a big difference. Okay. What is a sequence in Array? Well, a sequence in Array is a sequence of points. So you index the points with natural numbers. You have a vector x1 in Array, you have a vector x2 in Array, you have a vector x3 in Array, and so on. Okay. So a sequence is just a family, let's say a family xk of points in Array, which are indexed by natural numbers. Okay. Here, let's say in the plane you have x1, here you have x2, here you have x3, and so on. Okay? Let's make a simple numerical example. For instance, xk in R2 is the vector whose components are 1 over k and 1 over k squared. Okay? You have x1, x2, x3, and so on. So this is a sequence. Let's check the sequence I gave you. In R2, so k equal 1, this is point 1, 1, okay? Then k equal 2, this is 1 half, 1 fourth. Let's say 1 half is here, and 1 fourth is here, x2. K equal 3 is 1 third, 1 ninth, okay? Then 1 fourth, 1 over 16, and so on. Okay, x3, x4, and so on. What do you notice? Well, you notice that this sequence of points is approaching somehow the vector 0, 0. Okay? Well, indeed, if you just consider the sequence of numbers 1 over k, for k that goes to plus infinity, this sequence of numbers goes to 0. And the same here. Okay? So, the definition of a limit of a sequence of vectors in Rn is analogous to this concept of limit of a sequence of numbers. Okay? Formally, I give it in this way. Let's say that x bar in Rn is the limit of the sequence
Okay. Okay, from to be precise, I always should write here the index set, but generally it can be omitted, just given it as understood, okay, as known. It what? Well, it usual definition from calculus, from basic calculus. Whenever you take some epsilon, there exists some index k bar such that the distance of xk from x bar is less or equal than epsilon whenever k is bigger than k bar. Here, instead of the distance, you could write the norm of xk minus x bar is less or equal than x. Okay? It means that if k is large enough, the sequence is as close as I want to the limit point. Okay? I fix any threshold, it is enough to take large value of the index and you are closer than that threshold to the point. Okay? So I erased the picture, but it was something like this. Okay? You can check by yourself that this sequence is approaching the limit of this sequence. In practice, you can check the limit going component by component. Okay? Simple exercise. I wrote already this implicitly, the limit. If a sequence has a limit, then the limit is a unit. Okay? A sequence cannot have two limits. Okay? It cannot be closer, arbitrary closer to two different points. Okay? Because two different points have a fixed distance. Okay? So, sooner or later, you are closer to one, you are arbitrary closer to one, or arbitrary closer to the other. Okay? You can be closer to both. If I consider the whole sequence. Let's consider another sequence. Xk is the generic part of the sequence. It is 1 over k, and the second component is minus 1 to the kth power. Okay? Let's try to draw this. 1 minus 1. Draw this sequence in R2. K equal 1, this is 1 minus 1. So this is X1. K equal 2, this is 1 half minus 1 squared, so 1. Okay, X2. Then K equal 3, I have 1 third minus 1 to the third power, so it is minus 1, so it is here. Okay. Similarly, x4 is 1 over 4, 1. Okay. So x4 is here. x5 will be here. x6
will be here and so on. Conclusion, this sequence does not have a limit. Okay. Let's check odd indexes, x1, x3, x5, and so on, okay? They are approaching 0 minus 1. Let's take even indexes, x2, x4, x6, and so on. They are approaching 0, 1, okay? Let's rename this x1, x2, x3, and so on. This is now a sequence, and this sequence has a limit. Okay? Let's rename this 1, 2, 3, and so on. This is a sequence of its own, has a limit, 0, 1. Okay? My original sequence does not have a limit, but if I choose a subset of the, an infinite subset of the indexes carefully, I can find the limit of the new sequence. Okay? Well, this, okay, first of all, when I select from a sequence xk for all k in n, I select an infinite sequence of indexes, okay? Could be 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, or could be 1, 7, 11, 13. The only important is that it is infinite, so I can choose, let's say, xkj, where now the index is j, and kj goes to plus infinity as j goes to plus infinity. This is called a subsequence. Let's go back to our example. Okay, here, this subsequence of odd indexes is given, let's say, by kj equals 2j minus 1. For j equal 1, this is 1. For j equal 2, this is 3, and so on. Okay? And this other one is the subsequence that is given by this choice. 2j. Okay? 2 times j. For j equal 1, it is 2. For j equal 2, it is 4, and so on. So, a subsequence is obtained from a sequence by an infinite selection of indexes. Okay? If here, if you forget about k and you just take j, you have a new sequence. Okay? Which is derived from the original sequence. Well, a subsequence may have a limit, okay? Limits of subsequences are called cluster points, okay? This, let's say, event, if it exists. Okay. If it exists, the limit of a subsequence
is called, that word is over, cluster point. In our example, here we 0 minus 1 is a cluster point of the sequence because it's the limit of this particular subsequence. 0, 1 is another cluster point because it is the limit of this subsequence. Straightforward exercise. If the original sequence has a limit, then there exists a unique cluster point which is the limit. Okay? So, cluster points are somehow a generalization of limits. Okay? The limits of all possible subsequences. We will see that from a theoretical point of view, we will rarely able to build procedures which generate a sequence or has a limit, that has a limit. But we will often prove that our sequences have cluster points and the cluster points have the properties that we desire. Okay? This is the reason why I'm giving you this concept in a rant. Okay? Our general proof will be the cluster points of the sequence we generate by our algorithms as the properties that we want. Well, clearly, there are also sequences which do not have even cluster points. Okay? So we have sequences with limits, we have sequences which do not have a limit but have cluster points, more than one cluster point, but we also have sequences which do not have even a cluster point. This is an example, check it by your own, xk equals to, what is the one in my notes, it is k 1 over k, in R2, okay? If you have questions, ask anytime, stop me anytime. Okay? That's not a trouble. Let's focus on that sequence for a moment. Okay? Let's compute the norm of xk. The norm of xk is the square root of x1 squared plus x2 squared. So k squared plus 1 over k squared. Okay? This is a number, so from your undergraduate course on calculus, you can take the limit as k goes to plus infinity. This goes to 0, and this goes to plus infinity. Okay? So, I generated the sequence there, and the norm of the points which compose this sequence goes to plus infinity. Okay? They are going farther and farther away from zero. And this is the reason why this sequence does not have any cluster form. I forgot to give you some notation. About the limit, so I write them here. Suppose x bar is the limit of a sequence xk. Usual notations are this one. The limit as k that goes to plus infinity of xk is equal to x bar. Okay? This is a vector, this is a vector. Or another notation is xk goes to x bar as k goes to plus infinity.
Sometimes when it is clear
that k is going to plus infinity, this is omitted. Okay? So these are standard notation for the limit. The same notation you had for numbers. Okay? So this is for a number and these are for vectors. But you use the same notation. The meaning is a bit different.
Okay.
What happens if we build sequences such that the norm of the points of the sequence does not grow too much? Okay. The result is that in this case, if the norms of your sequence, xk, if the norms do not grow too much, do not grow above a threshold, so you have a sequence, you have some constant m, and the norm of the vectors xk is less or equal than m for any k. Well, you can prove that this sequence has at least one cluster point. Okay? If this is true, then the sequence has at least one cluster point. A sequence with this property, the norm of the vectors of the sequence do not exceed the threshold, are called also bounded sequences. You say the sequence is bounded, and so this theorem can be restated as any bounded sequence has at least a cluster point, has at least one cluster point. This is known in analysis as the Bolzano bias trust theorem. Okay. Why am I stating you this? We will build algorithms, we will build sequence of points. Okay. One way to guarantee the existence of cluster points is to generate bounded sequences. Okay, sequences with these properties. Okay? I told you before we are interested in cluster points because I will show you that we will build sequences and the cluster point has the properties that we want. Okay? And one way to guarantee the existence of a cluster point is to generate sequences which are bounded. Okay? So, not this type of one. Notice that the sequence in this example is bounded, okay? Because all these points have a norm which is less or equal than, this is 1 minus 1, than the square root of 2, okay? So, the sequence of this example, this is bounded. This is a bounded sequence. So, since it is bounded, the Bolzano-Weierstrass theorem says, okay, one cluster point exists, and actually we understand easily that this sequence has exactly two cluster points. Okay? Is everything clear? Okay. These 40 minutes have been speaking about sequences in Aran, because all the algorithms we are building, we are going to build, generate sequences of points in Aran. Okay? And we want to analyze their properties as a sequence. Okay? Existence of a limit, existence of cluster points, and so on. Okay, I think we can take just a five-minute break, and then I will show you other kind of properties in Aran which will be useful to us.